Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. The message today has brought me great comfort. I needed it. I'm thankful to God for it. But I also think that Christians hearing this message today need it as well. Now, we're going to cover a lot of different scriptures today. I recommend that maybe if you want to follow and record, that you get a paper and pen to write down these verses. I want to open in John, the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. Jesus is being confronted by people who have questions, and he says in the 27th verse, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man, who is Jesus, shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. And their curiosity is piqued, and they respond, and they said, then said they unto him, that is to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye faith on him, that is Jesus, whom he, that is God, has sent. Now in the Greek, the word is pistuante. It is a derivative of that word pisteos, which is translated faith, not belief, faith. And faith is acting on the promises of God. That's what, without faith, Hebrews says, it is impossible to please God. And 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 20th verse, says all the promises of God are in him, that is in Jesus, that is the one whom God has sent. And in him, in Jesus, amen. That is no doubt. God likes faithers, that is, people who are trusting in him, and that not in a God of their imagination, but the God who has revealed himself through the scriptures. A familiar verse to many of the listeners here. I hope other listeners may become familiar with it, but is Psalm 84, the 5th chapter. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, that is in God, and in whose heart are the ways, not the way the King James added by the translators says, the ways of them. It's the ways of thee. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about a way of God. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca, that is weeping, it speaks to us that we are on a journey. We haven't arrived at the final resting place, which is preserved for us in Christ Jesus in heaven. But today I want to talk about this word in the fifth verse, blessed. The word is Asher. This is not This is not the word blessed in the Hebrew Barak, which only God can bless us. The superior blesses the inferior, the scripture tells us. This is Asher. It describes a state of being. It describes a state of being that will never change. There's no change. God, it says in Ephesians 1:4, has chosen us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And to expand on that word chosen, if you had the Greek, it means a done deal, already done, that he chose out from among those he did not choose, and God did this for himself. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of thee. But this is not the text I want to go to today. The text I want to go to today is found in Deuteronomy 33. The 24th verse says, and of Asher, that is, blessed, Asher. Now, in the Hebrew, I have to tell you, there are like five or six derivatives of this word, Asher. I want to go to another one before we get started in the text for today, which is found in the 30th chapter of Genesis. And in the 13th verse, and Leah said, who is Leah? She is a wife of Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel. And he had two wives. He worked 7 years for what he thought was going to be his wife, Rachel, the beautiful one. But he wound up, you know, you work 7 years for something, you're finally going to get it. You know, you're going after it. And his father-in-law, Laban, tricked him. And instead of Rachel, gave him Leah. Not a real desirous woman, but nonetheless, a wife of Jacob. It says in the 12th verse, and Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. So Jacob had relations with a lot of women. Again, this is not just, you know, don't put today's moralities on many of those of the Old Testament. That's what I would say. But here's the important verse. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. In addition to describing a state of being, the name carries the connotation with it of to be envied. So now, let's go to the text. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Now that word is Barak, with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Now, in addition to oil being a symbol of anointing or choosing, it's also a symbol of strength. And God says to the blessed man, blessed is the man, specific individual, whose strength is in the Asher. That man's going to be envied. God says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Back to that man being on a journey. But it says here, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, we're talking about Christians. We're talking about those who are no longer under the control of the God of this world, Satan, our adversary, but who have come now, like Jacob did when God changed his name to Israel, under the influence and power of God. And the result is, you know, resting in God's promises. But not only that, but war has now become part and parcel of this journey. But the promise of God, in addition to giving us shoes prepared for this journey, shoes prepared for this part of the journey, the warfare, shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Now there's a promise of God we need to look into a little bit. If you wake up in the morning and you're not feeling much vim and vigor, you know, relax. Your day's going to be easier. At the same time, if you wake up in the morning and you're full of vim and vinegar, ready to take on the day, trust me, there's going to come circumstance in that day that is going to require strength. And that's why Psalm 84 says, whose strength is in thee. God will supply whatever it is you need. There is none, Scripture continues, like unto the God of Jesreon, that is Jerusalem, another name, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath all are the everlasting arms. Spend a little time on this. This 27th verse speaks of the God of the forefront. It tells us that God is on the corner before we get there, and he's there as a refuge, as a place of protection. You don't feel well, like you're living up to God's standards, whether they be out of his book or out of the traditions of men, you find yourself perhaps at a really low point in your life, I want to encourage you. It says, underneath all are the everlasting arms, and the Hebrew gives it, the Hebrew is a picture language. And if you can imagine bottomless, this verse is saying, underneath bottomless are the everlasting arms. You cannot find yourself in a circumstance so low that God is not able to reach down and hold you up. This is the work of God, that you faith on Jesus, whom God our Father has sent. And it goes on to say, and he, that is God, shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall destroy thee. This is really interesting. Maybe it could be applicable to current day events. This word destroy in the Hebrew is shamad. And it means to destroy. It means to annihilate. It means to exterminate. That means not be found anymore. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent or change his mind. As he said, so shall he do, and as he has spoken, so shall it be. God has eternity to prove up and fulfill all his promises. It's our job to grab hold of a promise of God that fits our circumstance and hang on to it until circumstance changes. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety. As I was studying, this word really jumped out at me. And I want to go to some references I found in the Bible Hub for this word being translated safety. In the Hebrew, the word is batach. Now, I don't know how many times over these almost two decades of teaching at the God School that we have talked of this word batach. And it is a, as I said earlier, it's Hebrew is a picture language. And the picture of this word batach is to lean upon a staff with the hope, with the expectation, with the confidence that as you put your weight on this staff, it will hold you up. It's a word often translated in the Hebrew, trust. But as we dug further into the meaning of this word, batach, you would find in some comments out of the Bible Hub, batach, security, safety, confidence, trust. The Hebrew conveys a sense of security and confidence in the context of trust in God, or a state of being free from fear. I've been fearing a lot of things recently due to circumstance. A state of being free from fear. It's used to describe both physical and spiritual assurance. Batak is frequently associated with peace and security that come from reliance or leaning on God. Trust in God was not merely an abstract idea, but practical reality that influenced daily life. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. The Israelites were often reminded that their true security lay not in military might or alliances, but in their faithfulness, in their faith, in their batak, in their leaning on God and His promises. Our Father hears our prayers, and the scripture tells us that He'll not tempt us beyond what we're able, but will provide a personal way of escape. My hesitation is, at this moment, I just want to shout for joy for God's word and His promises and His faithfulness. I want to go on. It says, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy Asher art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people, saved by the Lord, not by your works, saved by the Lord, the shield of your help. It says in Psalm 3 that God is a shield about us. Our glory and the lifter up of our head. I'm hoping that you are hearing, and that this hearing is energizing your faith in God and His word. Saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. King James gives an alternative translation to this shall be found liars in this 29th verse. And it says, thine enemies shall feign obedience. Oh, that those on the world stage attempting to bring about peace between the people of Israel and the Palestinians, that they had the wisdom and knowledge of God's word to keep a sharp eye out for the enemies, for they shall feign obedience. I've always loved this passage, which my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, used to teach on at least once a year. That is the Song of Asher, found in Deuteronomy 33:24. It has built hope in me. And that hope leads to faith. And this journey of faith that we're on, God in His kindness has given me the experience where there is a state of being where I have no doubt, that is, amen, in God and His faithfulness to His word and in Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, who by Himself purged my sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. My job, the work of God is faith in Jesus Christ and what He did, who was sent by God, our Father, to restore us to His family and to the inheritance that we who are in Christ have in Christ and in God, our Father. And that's the God School for today.